So we saw how Ben-Hadad is threatening to wage war against Achav. And Achav initially wanted to make peace with him, but then when he realized that Ben-Hadad doesn't want just peace, he doesn't want just to collect tax, he wants much more than that, he was trying to really humiliate him, then he realized, okay, I can't do that, I can't give over my sefer Torah, I need to take a stance. So at that point, Ben-Hadad says, okay, you want to wage war? No problem. We are going to crush you. And then Achav replies and he says, Alis hal chiger kim fateach. Not so fast, my friend. Not so fast. You didn't even start the war. You don't know if you're going to be victorious. So this Navi walks over to Achav. Did you see this huge crowd? And we pointed out last time, Malbim explains that only when you realize that relying on Hashem is your last resort, there's no other possible solution that you have, there's nothing else you can rely on, that's when Hashem will perform the nes for you. Not before that. Suppose Gedalt continues, Vayomer Achav b'mi, who is going to be the one that's going to win the war for me? You know who's going to win the war for you? It's going to be the Ne'are Sarei Medinos. We started talking about a little bit last time who these Sarei Medinos were. According to some of Farshim, they were the children of the ministers that he took. He kept them close to him. As the saying goes, keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer. If you want to make sure that your enemies don't rebel, then have their sons right next to you. That way, if they rebel,
hostages.
That's it. You got them. Got them where it hurts. These children of the ministers, these sons of the ministers, are going to be the one to lead the war. So he tells him who's going to be the one to lead. And he says, the Navi says, it's going to be you, Achav. You're going to be the one to lead. Okay, so what happens now? Pasuk Tezvav continues. Ve'ifgu desnari sarei medinos v'yom atayim shnayim u'shloshim. He counts 232 nari sarei medinos. Ve'achareim pokan des kol ha'am kol b'nei Yisrael shiva salafim. And after that he counts 7,000 soldiers, 7,000 foot soldiers. And we mentioned last time that this number 7,000 is the same number of Jews that did not bow down to the Baal. They did not worship the Baal. So he's got an army of 7,232, to be exact. V'yeitzu b'tzaraim, they leave in the afternoon. V'enadad shoyse shikor basukois, huve malachim shloshim u'shnaim melech oizer oisai. Meanwhile, Ben-Hadad, so confident that he's going to win.
They're having a party.
He's sitting there, he's drunk. He's going to the bar, he's hanging out with his buddies. Right, these other kings that were with him, these were kings that he conquered their lands, and now they are subject to him. So Achav sends out these sons of the ministers that he had. They were the first line. They're the front line, literally. So Ben-Hadad gets word that Achav started off the war, and he sent these 232 Sarei Medinos. So how does Ben-Hadad reply? Ve'yemar im l'sholom yatzu tifsum chaim. V'im l'mlchom yatzu chaim tifsum. What's the difference? He's telling him, if they've come for peace, then catch them alive. And if they've come for war, alive, catch them. What's the difference?
He says, if for peace they've come out, seize them alive. If for war they have come out alive, you shall see them. It's the same thing.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm asking. What's the difference between...
Yeah.
What are you saying, Arkady?
There's no any difference.
You don't see any difference either.
This is the same. In the Russian version, there is no difference.
In Russian what? It says exactly the same thing?
I read the Russian, this is the same thing.
Right, but if you look in the Hebrew, then the words are different. It's tifsum chaim, catch them alive, or chaim tifsum, alive, catch them.
Okay. No matter what, don't kill them. Bring them in as captives. That's all.
Right. So the Malbim explains like this. He says that if they're coming for peace, then which word comes first? Tifsum chaim, catch them alive. Meaning that any time a person says something, he always says the most important thing first. Right? He always says the most important thing first. That's because that's his main message. So what Ben-Hadad is saying, that if they come for peace, then catch them, tifsum, catch them alive. Right? Meaning, why is that? What's he saying? He's saying that even though they've come for peace, they're trying to make peace. There's no need to capture them. But still, even though they've come for peace, I want you to capture them. I want you to capture them. Even though they've come for peace. But if they've come for war, then alive, catch them. Meaning that the main thing is you keep them alive. Not that you capture them. That's the main thing. Because the most important, it's really counterintuitive. You would think that if they're coming for peace, then why capture them, right? Just have a conversation with them, see what they want. But he's saying no, catch them alive, right? And then if he's saying, if you're coming for war, you might have thought, kill them, right? Stop them, whatever it takes. So what's he saying over there? Alive, make sure they're alive. And catch them. The main thing that his main message he always says first.
He says down over here, he changed the expression from they both mean the same thing because he didn't want to seem to be repetitious.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says over here. To avoid sounding repetitious.
Okay, yeah.
He said the same thing a little differently, but he meant the same
right.
thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what the stuff it says.
The main problem is when there is battle or war, they are going to fight. It means maybe the idea try to take them alive. It doesn't mean not to kill everybody. If they fight it, somebody should be killed.
Right, but the main message he's trying to say is that even though they're coming for war, still, I want you to get them alive.
It means if possible.
Yeah, obviously. Mm-hmm. Possible, but again, that's counterintuitive to what you might think. You might think, if they're coming for war, then kill them. But he's saying, no, don't kill them. Alive. Make sure they're alive when you capture them. Mm-hmm. That's his main point.
So it's actually not a war. War means people killing each other. Here he's saying, capture them alive. So he wasn't making war against them. He says, hands up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't call it a war.
If you capture someone, then you have something.
If they don't kill, they don't.
You have something to deal with. You have some clout to, you know, against the your enemy. We're gonna shoot them. We're gonna torture them. Whatever.
We got some bargaining chips.
Yeah.
Right.
If you kill them, then you don't have anything to, you know, get more out of them when they're alive and when they're dead.
Right. Then you could do the exchange of prisoners at the end of the war.
Yeah.
That's what you typically do. Okay. Pasuk Yutes. Ve'ele yotzu min ha'ir, na'ar yisar medinos, v'chayel asher achareyem. So first, the na'ar yisar medinos, these 232... sons of the ministers. They were apparently the main warriors. They're the fierce warriors. That's why they're on the front line. And after that is the other
7,000
foot soldiers. So what happens? Drum roll. Who's gonna win? Vayaku ish ishoy vaynusu aram. V'yir defay misrael v'ymolid ben adad melech aram al sus uparoshim. And sure enough, the army of Achav starts killing one person at a time. Right? It says in the pasuk, "Vayaku ish ishoy," meaning each man, each Jewish soldier killed the man that was coming to fight with him. Meaning. It wasn't, meaning the messengers or the soldiers that were sent by Ben-Hadad, by the king of Aram, they didn't come to wage war. They were trying to figure out if these people have come for peace or if they've come for war, right? And as they're approaching them, right, they didn't even take out their sword or anything. As they're approaching them, the Jewish soldiers come, and as they get closer, each Jewish soldier kills the soldier that's opposite him. Right, and so that was the first attack. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the rest of the army of Ben-Hadad, when they realized that the Jewish soldiers are so fearless, they're going ahead and they're killing out, you know, even the messengers that we sent. They realize, oh, you know, we've got a business with a serious army, right? This fearless army, they have no problem killing out the soldiers that we're sending out to see if they're coming for peace or for war. And so at that point, they got really scared. It says, "Pachad elokim nafal aleihem," the fear of God fell on them, and they started to flee. And when once they started to flee, then what happens? Then also Ben-Hadad, v'imolad Ben-Hadad melech Aram al sus uparoshim. Ben-Hadad starts to run away as well. Now at that point, until now, it was only the army of Achav. At this point, when Achav realizes that his army is doing really well and they're actually defeating the enemy, so he got very brave and he says, "Okay, now it's time for me to join the war. Let's pick up the morale. Show them who's boss." Pasuk Chaval, "Ve'yitzem alech Yisrael v'yachas asus v'esarechev v'hikov aram maka gedoylo." Right? Achav comes to the battlefield. His men see him. They get this surge of encouragement. And they start chasing the enemy. So the way they defeated the army.
No, but I'll see you in the morning. All right, bye.
The way they defeated the army was they went the way the army worked was they were working with horses and chariots. And so what they did was the Jewish soldiers they would aim for the horses that were carrying the chariots. And once they hit the horses, once they got the horses, then everything fell apart. The chariots spiraled out of control. And they started rolling and basically killing the soldiers that were inside of them. That was the strategic way of the Jewish army to defeat these chariots. Chariots are typically, it's kind of like the tank of the olden days. You don't want to mess with chariots. But they were able to aim at the horses, and that's how they basically defeated these chariots, these powerful chariots. That's why it says, "Vayachas hasus ve'esarechev." That's why if you look in the pasuk, it says they first hit the horse, right? Vayachas hasus, and then the rechev fell apart, killing the soldiers inside of it. Pasuk chavbeis, "Vayigash hanavi al malach Yisrael v'yomer loy." Lech ischazek v'dav re'es asher ta'asek l'tshuvas Hashon ha'melech Aram oyla alecha. So this Navi comes over to Achav and he says, oh, you just defeated the king of Aram, Ben-Hadad. Don't get too excited, my friend. And a year from now, Ben-Hadad is going to regroup and re-attack you. So you gotta prepare yourself. Don't just sit by and relax.
You gotta start believing in Hashem and doing the right thing.
Right.
Stop the baloney. It's called.
Right. Exactly. That's why it says lech ischazek. Ischazek means straighten your ways. Right. Become more stronger in derech Hashem, like you were saying. Get closer to Hashem. So let's see what happens. Ve'avdi melech Aram, pasuk of Gimel. Ve'avdi melech Aram, omrei elav Elokei Yehori ve'Elokeihem, alken chazku mimenu. Ulam yilachem itam b'mishar imloy nechazak man. So Ben-Hadad's men come over to him after the defeat, and they tell him, "Listen, you're right. It was a terrible defeat. However, the reason why the Jews managed to defeat us was because their God is strong only when it comes to the mountains, right? He's the God of mountains. But if you want to fight them, on the plain, over there, we're going to cream them, right? Mountains, that's where their strength lies, because their God is powerful in the mountains. But we're, the plain, forget about it. We'll be able to defeat them."
Where did he get such an idea?
I don't know where they got this idea, but they came up with this. They basically were trying to convince Ben-Hadad to fight again. The reasoning behind it was because it didn't make any sense. The army of Aram, of Ben-Hadad, was much, much larger than the army of Achav. It wasn't completely disproportionate. So it didn't make any sense to them that they were defeated so easily. So they had to come up with all these reasoning of why did they win? It doesn't make any sense. So that's why they came up with this reasoning, why? Because their God is, he's the God of mountains. That's where his strength lies. So Pasuk Chavdal continues. Ve'esadavar ze'asem, asera malachim ish mimkoyim, ve'sim pachois tachtayhem. What you need to do, Ben-Hadad, is get rid of these malachim, these 32 malachim that were partying with you. They're the cause of the problem. Right, you're sitting there, you're having a good time, getting drunk. They didn't even think, they didn't even bother to go out to war. Typically, back in the day, the king would go out to war. That would really pick up the morale of the men. Right, they could see their king, their leader in front of them. But these kings, they were so confident in themselves, they decided just to get drunk. They decided to sit back in their sukkah, in their little, man cave. And they didn't bother to go out to war. But you have to get rid of them. These guys are obviously not doing you any good. Yeah.
They're not helping you.
They're not helping you at all. So what do? You got to get rid of them and appoint warriors with a knife between their teeth. And once you appoint these warriors instead of these kings, then we're going to rebuild our army. We'll have a much more powerful army, and then the Jews have no chance. We'll be able to defeat them quite easily. So what happens? So Ben-Hadad listens and he's like, yeah, actually sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's get rid of all these malachim, all these kings. Let's revamp our army. Let's develop new technology from DARPA, and we'll be able to defeat these Jews. All right, so he spends the year rebuilding his army, regrouping, training everybody, and finally a year later, Pasuk Chavav tells us, "Ve'ilu tshuvas hashana ve'yifkod ben adan im es aram, ve'yal afekol ha'melchama im Yisrael." So a year later, Ben-Hadad is feeling confident. He goes over to Afeka, because again, he's trying to make sure that the next war is going to be on the plain. He doesn't want to fight them in the mountains, because he knows that the mountains, he's got no chance. He tried that already and he failed. He's going to Afeka. Afeka was the land of the tribe of Yehuda. Now, even though Afeka, if you look at the Pesukim, is really belongs to the tribe of Asher, but this area belonged to Yehuda because this was part of the kingdom of Achav. Remember, Achav is a king over 10 tribes, right? And Yehuda was not part of his kingdom. Yehuda was not part of his kingdom.
He didn't mention the one thing why he said he's a god of the mountains, because that's when he gave the Torah on the mountain. That's why they got the idea. Mm-hmm. But on the plain, if we got more guys, we'll get them.
Right. On the plane, then over there won't be any more miracles, right? Their God won't be able to defeat us, and we can take care of them.
But this is, you don't know any idea what is that. What is the name?
What?
No, but this is their idea about God, completely different than what is that for Jews. What is God who helps only in mountain? What is it?
Well, you have to remember, back in the day, they were idol worshippers.
Yes, they're idol worshippers. It means they believe God in the mountains, birds in the forest, and something.
Right, exactly. So they believed in these different forces.
Yeah. They try to find a reason why they were defeated.
Right, right,
because
exactly.
Because they were in the mountain, it means because God is mountain. If they defeated them, they found reason why they defeated them in plane.
Right.
I'm not sure they know about Torah and Sinai. The story was known around the world, how Jews received the Torah.
Yeah, it was very known, very well known, sure.
And all the
they saw it on TV. They saw the Ten Commandments.
No, but this is not miracle. Miracle was.
Yeah, they saw the movie.
Famous.
What's the name of the movie?
Huh?
What's the name of the movie? Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Miracle was part of the about Red Sea.
Right, but that
about the what happened in Sinai probably is only Jewish. Story.
Yeah, but everyone talked. There was people around.
No people around. Only Jews were.
No. there was the Erev Rav. I'm sure there was other people that came by, you know,
right.
Nomads traveling and on safaris, and you know.
The miracles that happened to the Jews back then were so famous,
yeah.
And everyone was following them. It wasn't like, okay, in the back paper of the newspaper, right, all the way in page 15, you know, deep inside, oh, the Jewish people are traveling in the desert. Right? It was frontline news. It was
on TV every day.
Right, exactly. Back then they only had black and white TV, but still.
Yeah. I had to read the newspaper. Hey, you know what happened to the Jews? They got the Ten Commandments. Yisro heard. Everyone else heard.
Yeah.
It said Yisro. What did they hear? Everyone says, oh, it happened, you know. And
right.
They went on. Yisro heard, and they say, I'm going to go visit my son-in-law.
Right.
Take my daughter and the kids.
Yeah.
Go see what happens. Then he goes back and, this is what happened.
Right.
There was Egyptians left. But not all the Egyptians died. And you know what happened? The Jews escaped in the middle of the day and no one did anything.
Right.
The word gets around.
Yeah. Word gets around.
You're ready to start new
serial. Word gets around somehow or other.
Right. Okay. So what's happening now? Pasuk Chaf Zayin.
I'm sorry. See, fight them in the plains. There was airplanes.
Exactly. They had airplanes back then.
So people got around, knew what was going on.
Sure, they had the Wright brothers.
All right.
Yeah. Now the Jewish people realize that, we've got another war in our hands.
Yeah.
So they go over and they park Kishnei Chasife Izim. Right? What does that mean? I mean, it's like these two tiny little herds of goats. Apparently, herds of goats are pretty small. So you've got these, imagine the picture of these two tiny little herds of goats against this huge, enormous army that covers the whole entire earth. Literally everything. Alright, so this is serious stuff. Okay, we'll have to stop here because it's time for Mecha already.